Hi, welcome to the show. We're back from hiatus, though, judging by how tired we both are, you wouldn't know it. You wouldn't know that we've been on break at all, because apparently we're both
exhausted. This is the Gender Note. I am Naz.
I'm Dan.
Welcome back. We're going to talk about two big things this week. One, about how we're rebranding, and two, we're going to catch up with some letters that we received from hiatus. So
yeah,
it's all emotional labor. It's mostly emotional labor.
That train will not leave the station.
So we're gonna come to that really soon. Really quickly, we're gonna do the quickest housekeeping of all time. Write to us, it's thegendernote@gmail.com. We're doing a bi-weekly newsletter where we're sharing lots of cool stuff. Also, we're sharing a lot of cool stuff that you guys are sending us, like, you know, podcasts, resources, great things to check out. So yeah, sign up also at thegendernote@gmail.com. And also, if you like this show, just share it with two people.
Yeah, so, or sign them up for the newsletter.
Exactly. Or do both. Or do both. So that is the quickest housekeeping of all time. And so we're going to get to us rebranding. So we're kind of changing the tagline of this show. And it is now trying to get men and women to get along.
Yeah. No more of this masculinity and femininity stuff. That's too soft. We want to get to the meat.
We want to get stuck in. And you might find it weird because I feel like Dan and I, yeah, we do get along though.
We do.
No,
we're
exactly.
We're best friends. Forever.
Forever.
Yeah.
Forever.
Is that good?
Forever. Yeah, but
BFFs.
I think it's a really exciting time right now because, like, women are pissed and they're being really brutally honest with men how they feel. Men are all freaking out. And I actually find times like this quite exciting because I'm just a big fan of everyone just get everything on the table. Let's all sit at the table and sort it out. So yeah, we really want to get into a lot of that this season. So yeah,
I want to get it to the point where men aren't monsters to women, so that when I date a woman, I'm not cleaning up her PTSD from the last guy. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's my secret goal. Like,
I laugh because, like, I can relate to that, and I feel like so many women I know can relate to that.
Yeah,
so
I don't want to mock.
Yeah.
PTSD is not funny. Let's just clear that up. But I mean, I feel
this
like
scenario,
every time I get into a relationship, I'm dating her, but she's dating the damage of the man before me.
So basically, those are our two big visions for the show. With me, it's to, like, do massive things in society. For Dan, it's to get a girlfriend who
just a healthy relationship
isn't healing from some shit that some guy did to her, which is also a big deal. I'm like a big fan of us all having healthy relationships. So, dude, I'm not downplaying your goal at all.
I think it's a big goal. I wish
I
it were more
great.
Of a modest goal, but I feel like, sadly, that's a big goal.
It is. But so we're going to be doing a bit less open-ended conversations about gender, though you and I have been doing less of that anyway. But we've got some cool stuff coming up. You had a massive chat with Mark Manson that we're excited to put up.
Yeah, I had a best-selling author in my tiny living room. It was very intimidating.
I was really excited, though, because I've been trying to get you into Mark Manson for ages because I'm like, Dan, you'll absolutely love him. And
yeah.
It sounded
and
like
I'm
you
like,
guys had a great time.
Reading is for squares. But then it turns out talking to him is really cool. He's a great guy, and he swears a lot. He's really smart, and he swears a lot, which I think completely busts the myth that profanity is for the under-educated or whatever they say.
But I'm excited for us to put those chats out. It sounded like you guys had a really good time, which I knew you would. So that was that was fun listening in.
He's super cool. Yeah. We got that. We're gonna have a bunch of stuff. Right now, we got some letters.
Right now, we've got some letters. So we've got some letters. Two topics. We've got self-care and also emotional labor. We're gonna quickly go through the emotional labor. I mean, we've gotten so much mail about emotional labor.
I honestly. Reading our mail about emotional labor has in itself become emotional labor.
We're going to read just a couple of the things that people have sent us. Thanks for writing to us about it. I know that there are a lot of different opinions and thoughts about what emotional labor actually is. So that I think that's a really big problem too. We're just going to quickly go through a couple of them. So actually, Dan, at the end of our last season, mm-hmm. on our episode How to Make Amends, we were chatting about some of the mail that came in about emotional labor, and I was saying how I'm not a big fan of women having abstract intellectual conversations with men about what this is, and that women should just stop doing emotional labor, and that's the most effective way to get guys to realize what it is. So you were like, yeah, you calling for an emotional labor strike, and I was like, yeah, damn right I am. So we've gotten a letter about that itself.
Yeah, we have Amanda from here in the States. Apparently she tried it. She said that she has, and then she says that she's done it not purposefully, but more out of spite. I would take a break and let things go or pile up, so to speak, just to see if anyone noticed. Petty, I know. I always felt better once I started the emotional labor again, like the break gave me the mental clarity I needed. Most helpful has been discussing it with my husband. We live in Savannah, Georgia, so the Deep South is extremely traditional with gender roles. But I'm blessed with a patient and loving partner. Even though he doesn't constantly think about what the household needs to run, he is regularly asking me what he can do. The hardest part has been delegating, since I had been so used to doing it alone for so long. I think that's great. I mean, I love that she took a stand. And it sounds like it, you know, even though she had to pick things back up, it got to a conversation. And, yeah. And even though her husband doesn't always know what to do, he knows the most important thing to do is, like, ask what he can do.
Yeah.
I think that's a great start, right?
Yeah, I think that's super promising. And I'm saying to the women out there, keep doing this strike. And if you haven't started striking, start striking now. So that was great hearing that.
Don't be a scab.
What does that mean?
A scab is someone like, if there's a labor strike and all the like actual union employees are out on the picket lines and the company hires outsiders to come and replace them, those people are called scabs.
No, you don't want to do that. Yeah, start emotional labor striking. We also heard from Rachel. She is based here in the UK. She's also lived in Japan, South Africa, and the US, so she's had a lot of experience of different cultures. So she wrote to us about the actual episode on emotional labor, and she said the following. She said, "Hi, Naz and Dan. Loved this podcast. Very real, very honest, very thought-provoking, particularly as I was driving to see my dad and stepmother, who I think are the epitome of the topic at hand. My stepmother has infantilized my dad for decades, and he's accepted it and almost embraces it, despite being a very successful, professionally speaking, highly educated man. He now can't make any decisions without her input. She grumbles and moans about the additional thinking, planning, plotting, feeling that she feels she needs to do, but seems unable to let things go. I used to find it all rather irritating. Now I just observe like some amateur anthropologist. Don't take this the wrong way, but I particularly like this podcast as Naz ceased to be funny and flirty with Dan and just got deadly serious and pissed off. I actually felt sorry for Dan on occasion, as I really thought he was getting it and trying hard to understand. Most importantly, he recognized that both men and women need to change to resolve this behavior and form stronger, more successful, more resilient relationships. So thank you. It was great. I sent it along to a friend who desperately needs to hear this. I'll refrain from sending it to my dad and stepmother, though. I think they're beyond fixing. Thank you, Rachel."
Yeah, that's so good.
I just want to make clear Dan is the one who flirts with me.
Well, okay. Throw me under the bus. Listen, is it my fault that I work with such a strong and smart and sensual woman?
What?
Just saying. How am I supposed to not flirt?
I don't know how to go on from that. Oh, this is awkward. I feel like we should argue. I think I'm like more comfortable with that. I'm more comfortable with like arguing. Yeah. That makes me sound like a teenage boy who only knows how to flirt if it's mean.
Yeah. I say something genuinely nice and you don't know what to do.
I'm just like, wait, what?
I'm leaving this in. It's all staying in. Thank you, Rachel. That was a really good. That was a really good one. We have another one from Ada. I don't think she said where she's from, but I'm assuming your side of the ocean, because she spells labor wrong, or maybe Canada. I don't know. But she says, I struggle quite often with emotional labor, but now I have to wonder if it's because of my personal issues around being a rescuer, or if that trait in part developed because of the expectations of women to invest so much in keeping the peace and exhausting ourselves with the work of feeling responsible for someone else's experience. I think that's such a good point because, I mean, where does it start? You know what I mean? Like, and her issues with being a rescuer, or is that just part of the expectations that are emotional labor?
I think it's a bit of both. I mean, I think a lot of these conversations, it's a little bit our personal histories and a little bit what society expects. But I do think it is a thing with, you know, expectations on women to always give people another chance, to like help people, try to educate people. So, yeah, I mean, I can definitely relate to that sort of, you know, as a woman, yeah, there's a lot of pressure to help people. Even though I go on about how I don't want to help men, and I know it annoys some of our female listeners, actually. They're like, what do you mean you don't want to help men? I'm like, no, man, I'm over that. But that is really interesting. We also heard from Richard, who wrote in from... New Zealand. And also he joked about mansplaining what emotional labour was. I wasn't offended at all, Richard. So Richard, he wrote a really detailed email explaining how he has come to understand what emotional labor is as a straight white male. So it was very, very helpful. He broke it down into three sections. I'm going to read one of the sections for you in full. But he was saying that, you know, he sees there being three main categories of emotional labor. Number one is pleasing, which I'm going to come to. Number two is home leadership. So it's a lot about running the household and the fact that women are often across everything that needs to be done, and that is a lot of emotional labor in itself. The third thing he talked about was relationship maintenance, so all the work of staying in touch with family, staying in touch with friends, keeping on top of who's got a birthday when, significant dates, stuff like that. So he saw that as being the third main way in which women do emotional labor. I want to go to the pleasing though, because he had some really interesting things to say about that, especially because Dan, when we did that episode, you talked a lot about how this sounds like, you know, emotional labor sounds like women are people pleasing and enabling. So Richard,
I think I said codependent.
Yeah, which is all about enablement, right?
Yeah,
exactly. So he had this to say, which I really want the men to listen to, because I think he's got this spot on. So in terms of pleasing, he said, it's the act of editing your words and temperament to be less challenging to another person. This person is often a person with more power, e.g. the boss on an individual level, or the dominant gender or race on a social level. This might include not showing anger, hiding frustration, stating criticisms or complaints more softly than you otherwise would, etc. Sometimes this is just social conditioning turned habit, as when women might speak deferentially to men. Other times, it might be a survival mechanism, like when Black American males are dealing with armed cops or a woman is dealing with a domestic abuser. Dan's point about how this is similar to enabling makes sense, but doesn't fully address the power aspect. We all, to a greater or lesser extent, might enable our boss to feel like a boss by engaging in pleasing behaviors, but it's motivated less by love or concern and more by self-interest and an awareness of relative power and status. So I think, Richard, thanks so much. That is like a really good explanation of why emotional labor is so damaging. And it makes me think of all the times in which, I mean, I think it happens all the time. And I say this as a woman who constantly pisses people off and constantly pisses men off, and I try to go on an emotional labor strike, but it is this thing of like, oh, I'm only really gonna get this person to listen to me if I try to be pleasing and try not to show how pissed off I am and try to be nice. So a lot of emotional labor is just like trying to be heard or trying to like stay safe in like a pretty dicey situation.
Yeah, a lot of self-preservation.
Well, yeah, it's kind of just, you know, trying to get through the world as safely as you can.
Right. Yeah, so I mean, obviously, like, codependence and enablement is a very short-sighted view of like the power dynamic side of this.
Yeah, yeah. But I still think women should be going on an emotional labor strike. And so I'm also going to read one more letter. This is actually to do with self-care. So last episode, I had a chat with Sam, who is one of our producers on the show. We talked about self-care and whether it's bullshit. So women are doing a lot of self-care the past few years, and it's become like a massive thing. So we had a chat about that. We had a really interesting email from Rachel, who is from the US, and she works in yoga therapy. So this is kind of about whether self-care is gendered or not. She said to us that the guys who come to me for help with pain recovery often need to learn how and what to do in terms of self-care, which can be tough, especially if they're already stretched with work and family. Often their self-care has been collapse, zoning out, or sedation, rather than truly nourishing, deliberate, and active rest. Most of the men I've talked to about this say that they relate to the idea of self-care. It's a term that resonates for them, and yet it takes time and support to actually do it, and learning how to care for self in positive ways, along with the trust that the effects of self-care will ripple out to serve those around them. Do you struggle with self-care, Dan?
Not at all. No,
I don't know why I wasn't surprised by that.
Not in the least. Self-care is my middle name, dude. Are you kidding me? I take a lot of naps, and I eat a lot of pizza, and I play a lot of Mario Brothers, and I watch a lot of Forensic Files. That's my self-care. But actually, reading her email, I'm like, is that self-care? Because she's talking about like how men define it
zoning
as like zoning out.
Zoning out, right?
I feel like, to me, zoning out is self-care because it's like, I don't know if I agree with her.
I just feel like you and me are so burnt out right now that like.
Yeah, I think that we should go do some self-care and take some naps.
So Dan and I are off to take a nap. We'll be back next.
Separately. We're taking two separate naps. Don't say we're going to take a nap. That gives people the wrong idea.
Taking a nap in London.
Yeah, and I'll take one in Los Angeles. And that's it. This is The Gender Knot. I'm Dan.
I'm Naz. If you like this episode, share it with two people. So go onto the share button on your app, like right now, and share it with two people. We're going to be back next week, hopefully a bit more refreshed than
yeah.
today.
And big shout out to our co-producers, Jonathan Blackwell and Sam Baker. We couldn't do the show without them. See you guys soon.